Mark 10, and the verse I want to look at is verse 16. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Now, there's something we have to note about this passage straight away, and that is that if we use it as a defense of infant baptism, although infant baptism is in it, we shall simply make fools of ourselves. People say, where's the prayer book? Where's the font? Where's Jesus baptizing, seeing he never baptized? And anyhow, how did his disciples drive him away if they were used to baptizing and expected to be baptizing children? So they quickly defeat this passage used in that fashion. But let's take the words. You look at them again. And they brought young children to him. It's they brought. Now, see who brought them. Fathers in the Middle East, you'll see regularly, carry around little children in their arms. And it's fathers and mothers brought them. It's something that's incidental. And the Lord Jesus always used incidents to teach by. So the time before, the Pharisees had asked him, what about divorce? And the time after, a rich young ruler comes and it's all about possessions. This isn't by accident. You first get divorce and the difficulties of marriage, and then it needs bringing in that children are a blessing and accepted of the Lord, because very quickly people rush to the conclusion that marriage is wrong. And then you get on to the subject of possessions, which is very necessary when you think about children today and how possessions were preferred to children by many households. So then, the next thing to note is, and they were married people. There wasn't one among them who wasn't married. That's for a certainty, and that needs thinking about. It has often been remarked about this passage that if a nation gives up marriage, it very soon ceases to be a nation. It doesn't take very long till the whole rot ruins everything. And whatever we do as a little church, we stand our ground clear on marriage. We don't have, in spite of all the losses and difficulties it causes us, any doubt about that subject. And that means that we're up against the women's liberation, and we're up against all the modern ideas of women in church. It's a very big problem we take on by accepting, just quietly accepting, that these people are all married people. He's not taking into his arms the children of the adulterer and the whore, who the Bible has a lot to say about, and that it says that they're the spawn of serpents, and it says that they have the poison of asps in their mouths, and a lot more it says about them, and it says that they won't, those who don't honour God won't be honoured to the third and fourth generation. These are married people, and it's worth thinking about. Now, the next thing is, they are not doing something which is unusual or superstitious. Some people say, well, to bring children in baptism is superstition to Jesus. Well, we bring him to the Lord who was present on earth, and he's present now. There's nothing superstitious can be explained about baptism unless you look at the ways it's done. Here, these people have very good grounds for bringing him to Jesus. They know that when he touched lepers, who nobody else would touch, the lepers were healed, and that he always did his miracles very, very often by touch, sometimes by word, but really most of them appear to be by touch. So they knew that there was a blessing in his touch. Now, that isn't superstition. It's different to Baraka, and it's different to Yin and Yang and all the rest of them. It's something they could see clearly with their eyes, that in his touch was a blessing, and a great blessing. So they bring them to him. Now, the next thing is, we bring children to the Lord Jesus by prayer. And daily we bring children, grandchildren, children of friends, children who are in trouble, children in classes, to the Lord in prayer to touch them. And our aim is that he will reach out to them. That is spiritually now, because he's not present except by his Holy Spirit, but he's really present that way. So what we are praying is that God will reach out to them. Now, it's very interesting in the New Testament, there are very few examples of the apostles or anybody else praying for those who are unconverted. And should we pray for the unconverted? Well, a lesson of the Gospels is, yes, we should. We should bring the unconverted to Jesus in prayer, especially those who are too sinful or too weak to pray for themselves. And the next thing is that we're not to keep too tight a hold of the children. They parted with them. He put his hands round them and blessed them. Now, a lot of people hang on to their own children, Christians, and won't let them go into the hands of anybody else to be taught in case the other person contaminates them in some way. Well, we have to let children go in school and in Sunday school. We can't hang on to them. They're to be kept not from the evil, but in the evil. And if wrong things are taught, we are to accept that. It doesn't mean we deliberately go somewhere where only wrong is taught. That would be wrong and bad. And it doesn't mean we don't think about these things and try and get the best there is. And it doesn't mean we don't speak against what's happening at school and that at home. But it's very, very important here that these young children were let go to him. And then again, it says young children. Now, there's an argument about this, but it implies infancy, especially in Luke's gospel. And it implies that they brought children well below the years of understanding. It doesn't say if he picked them up in his arms or whether he just put his arms around them standing. We don't know. But we do know that the Lord blessed the children greatly. And that is what he did. The other reason they brought them, and this is something I think Christians forget, is the Lord Jesus was the most attractive man. Everybody wanted to come near him. To be unattractive and expect the children to be brought is not possible. There has to be an attractiveness about us, so that people want to bring them. These parents felt free to bring them, and they felt safe in bringing them. Now, next we have to see that the disciples prevented them. The word means warn them. It literally means that it was an award of a refusal or something wrong. They felt it was wrong to bring the children. Why? Well, no doubt they reasoned it in their minds. We are engaged in a very great discussion on marriage, and we've got great things to do, and these are a little nuisances. They also probably said, we're too busy, and they also probably said, he is too great for this in their minds. But when you think about it, we often make excuses in our minds for things we think which aren't really there in our minds. The underlying fact was that it cost them trouble and that it didn't add to their kudos, because the children weren't very clean and they weren't very highly thought of. And so to bring them brought the disciples down in the eyes of other people. Now, one of the things that just needs noting in this is that some preachers will not preach to children. Well, that is wrong. Unless the words of the preacher can be understood by little children, it's quite wrong in the matter. Preaching over their heads is something that the Bible doesn't take to. And then there's another little thing here too. The disciples had a very unregenerate mind, and the unregenerate mind puts all sorts of obstacles in the way of bringing children to Jesus. So all around us, government edicts, social workers, police, even those in authority in other places, do their best to make it difficult to bring children to Jesus. They say, leave them until they're more mature. They'll be brainwashed into it. They don't know what they're doing. Well, they'll take them quite happily to any nonsense that's going in any theatre or any place they happen to be, and never worry tuppence about that. So that's false argument. What they really don't want is the children brought to Jesus. And there's, I would say, that at least one government minister, she does her level best to make sure no child is brought to Jesus all the time. And there are others too in government who have no idea. They don't bring children to Jesus. And also, because of work and possessions, women in the churches won't bring children to Jesus. They will bring them to church, they expect to be relieved of them in church and packed off to somewhere, and it to be their hour free of children, and the church members also feel the same, but they will not bring at themselves to teach children on a Sunday afternoon or whenever. They say, well, the children won't come then. That doesn't bear out in fact. What bears out, in fact, is that they prefer to be at home in the garden in their old clothes or something. They don't prefer coming to teach children. And therefore, there's a very, very big rebuking and forbidding among Christians today and the world. Therefore, if we're going to bring children to Jesus, we're going to have to face opposition, real heavy opposition to our doing so. And they'll do their very best to stop it. Now, look how our Lord rebukes them. He uses very severe language. He says he became indignant. Now, the same word is used of the Pharisees and the chief priests when they were displeased. And it's used of the disciples when they were moved with indignation. The whole thing is they came very angry. So the Lord showed anger at those who would have kept them from him. The reason is, for such is the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean only little children can come into the kingdom of God and anyone who doesn't won't get there, but it means their humbleness, their truthfulness and trustfulness, their way of just coming to you and accepting what you say is to be imitated. They belong to the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God belongs to them. So the blessing belongs to the children, and the most important work we ever do as a church is to reach children and teach children, and it does great good. So our Lord took the little children up in his arms and blessed them, and it means one by one. It doesn't mean he just in a general way lifted the lot, but each one he blessed them. And when we're bringing children to Jesus, we're wise to bring them one by one in prayer daily, one by one, each one, and lay them before him, and he can act in their lives. Now, having called them to him, he took them in his arms. Whether he took them onto his knee, we don't know. Probably the tinies he did. But he took them up in his arms, and seems that he put his left hand round them and his right hand on their head and blessed them. What does it mean, bless them? Well, probably he prayed for them, each one, a brief prayer, but a real prayer. So his heart is filled with love for these children. And if he loved them, we ought also. Amen.